This is the Veterinary Life Coach Podcast with Dr. Julie Capel, episode number 277. Hello, veterinary friends. Welcome to the Veterinary Life Coach Podcast. Today, I want to talk about self-worth, where it comes from, why we feel unworthy at times, and what we can do to feel more self-worth. It came up for me last week as I was talking with Dr. Amy Grimm, and also this week during a class that I'm taking right now for my compassion fatigue certification. So I really felt it on my heart that we needed to talk a little bit about self-worth. Before we get into that, I want to thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of your support and for you reaching out to me with your comments, your emails, and for signing up for free coaching with me to try out life coaching. I really love when you do that, whether you continue life coaching or not. It's fun for me to get to meet all of you and teach you how coaching with me will help you, and also coaching yourself will help you. So if I can also ask you to check out my YouTube channel. I'm finally catching up with getting my video podcast interviews up on YouTube. My son Tristan wrote some new music for the intro, and my husband's been helping me by editing and posting them up on YouTube. So if you would be so kind to visit and subscribe to my channel, I'd greatly appreciate it. Just search on the Veterinary Life Coach and all my video interviews will be there. The subscriber growth will allow more veterinarians and veterinary professionals to see the content. So I'm excited about that. And also, if you have not already done so, go to my website and get on my email list for my Wednesday weekly words. You can also sign up for the free coaching there if you haven't already done that. I really just want to thank you again for all of your support. This profession is the best in the world. I truly believe that. And you people that work in this profession are the kindest, most generous, most amazing people out there. So thanks for supporting me. I really do love this veterinary community. Okay, so after that little commercial, let's get into talking about self-worth. As some of you know, I am a certified compassion fatigue professional. And with that certification, I must take a certain number of classes each year to keep up with that certification. This week, I'm attending a mindfulness class that's being taught by a psychologist, and he was teaching some things yesterday about self-worth and where it comes from our childhood experiences, and how our brain is naturally wired to default to negativity, and how we can improve our sense of self-worth by becoming more aware and more mindful of our thoughts and feelings about ourselves. So I decided that I would share some of what I'm learning with you and some of the things that I've learned in the past and some of the things that I've researched, because it's been a while since we've talked about self-worth. And I believe that everything starts from that. To feel unworthy is the basis of all our negativity. And so if we can increase our self-worth, all things will feel better. That's truly my belief. So here we go. The definition of self-worth is the internal sense of being good enough and worthy of love and belonging from others. Or another definition is a feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. And self-worth is often confused with self-esteem. And self-esteem relies on external factors, such as our successes and our achievements, and we use those to define worth. So it's inconsistent. Some people struggle at feeling worthy all the time because they're tying it back to their self-esteem and their achievements. And so there's a subtle difference there, but there is actually a difference. I believe that everybody is worthy no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, because I believe that our worthiness comes from God. But we're not going to talk about it in exactly that way, because I want us all to work on feeling more worthy. There's a quote from Christina Hibbert, Dr. Christina Hibbert, that explains the difference between self-worth and self-esteem. She says, quote, "Self-esteem is what we think and feel and believe about ourselves. Self-worth is recognizing I am greater than all of those things. It's a deep knowing that I am of value, that I am lovable, necessary to this life, and of incomprehensible worth." And that's what I mean by we're all worthy from God. And believing it to your core that no matter what you do, that you're lovable, you're necessary to this world, and you have something to offer. There's nothing that you can do or can miss doing or can make a mistake in doing that's going to change your worthiness. And then there's a thing called self-confidence. And that's a subtle difference too. Self-worth and self-confidence. Self-confidence is not an overall evaluation of yourself, but it's a feeling of confidence and competence in some specific areas. That's why we can be confident in our medical abilities or our surgical abilities, but we still feel low self-worth. Self-confidence is related to performance. Self-worth is an underlying feeling that you're good enough no matter what you do. It's not necessary to have high self-confidence in every area of your life. There are some things that we're naturally better at than others, and there's things that we're not good at. And I compare myself to other veterinarians all the time. I compare myself to other speakers. I compare my book to other people's books. That's not self-worth. That is more related to self-confidence. The important thing is to have confidence in your activities that matter to you, but having a sense of self-worth overall, not in activities, just because you are. So one of the important things to realize with self-worth is that it's at the very core of your being. Your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors are intimately tied to how you view your worthiness and value as a human being. So here's where my compassion fatigue class comes in. Much of this information comes from the teacher of this class and also from mindfulnesscenter.org. So if you want to learn more about what I'm going to talk about today, you can get some of this information there. So the instructor of my class talked about where our core beliefs come from, because we all have this series of beliefs that are deeply buried in our psyche that come from somewhere. And if we can figure them out, we can unravel all the negative things that our brain holds on to. So he talked about most of us having some core negative beliefs about ourselves. And that's a big part of us feeling unworthy. A core negative belief is an inaccurate belief and fears about ourselves. He explained that we're all born helpless and are totally dependent on our parents or our caregivers to nurture and comfort us. So if you've never heard of this, it's something called attachment theory, or it's related to that. So if you really want to get deep into it, you can read up on this more, but I just wanted to briefly touch on it. He talked about the first couple years of our life that our brain is rapidly developing. We're totally secure and totally worthy when we're born, right? And then we have this couple years where we're helpless and we develop a lot of our beliefs in our brain because our parents have certain reactions to us that influence our development. So most of us have parents that did the best they could. They were humans. They had their own issues. They had their own struggles. But none of our parents were perfect. So there were gaps in how our parents nurtured us and affirmed us and kept us safe. So in those early months, every little experience was stored in that part of our brain that is our survival brain, that alarm system that we all have naturally, that reptilian chihuahua brain that I call it. So every time you didn't feel safe as a baby and your parents couldn't fix something for you, if you were colicky, if you had, you know, teeth coming in, something that they couldn't fix, you as a baby felt fear. And that fear was remembered and stored in that primitive brain, that amygdala, that emotional memory part of your brain. Emotional memories are all stored, the more severe, the longer they're stored for, but they're stored in that primitive brain. So here's a quote from this class. The key point is when you didn't feel safe because your caregivers were not perfectly there for you, very, very early on, you almost certainly came to the instinctive conclusion that it was somehow your fault. Before too long, this inaccurate impression usually evolves into a core negative belief about yourself. So that's where this comes from. You thinking that it's your fault that you weren't cared for the way you thought you should be cared for, or you didn't feel safe. And these core negative beliefs are things like this. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. I'm worthless. I'm not lovable. I don't deserve love. I'm inadequate. I'm stupid. I'm a loser. I don't measure up. And all those kind of thoughts. So anything that your brain thinks and feeds back to you, which is how thoughts work, right? They pop into your brain when you don't need them always. They're stored in your brain and you deeply believe them. So in order to unravel all these negative core beliefs, you must do some deep work to not only understand what they are, understand where they came from, but then to work to change that emotional brain, to let go of some of these negative core beliefs. So think about this question. What would happen to your life if you could let go of some of those negative core beliefs? Those thoughts that you're not good enough, those thoughts that you're worthless or unlovable. How would your life open up for the better? Knowing this, let's look at some other things that influence our self-worth. And these are some of the ways that we try to measure our self-worth. We think that it's measured by our career. And this is a big one for veterinarians and people that work in this profession, right? Because it's such a valuable profession. It's so beloved by other people that don't work in it. You know, how many times do you go somewhere and you tell people you're a vet and their face lights up? They just think it's the coolest thing to be a veterinarian. And so we placed all this value on this accomplishment when we were children. And so we try to measure our self-worth through our career. The other ways that we sometimes think we can measure it is from our financial situation, if we're in debt, if we have a lot of money, the possessions that we own, the kind of car we drive, our appearance, our weight, our friends, our social circles, other people's opinions of us sometimes will influence our feeling of self-worth, our achievements, our awards, test scores, sports. That's a big one, right? If you're successful in sports, those are the things that we think and we allow to affect our self-worth. And there are a lot of things that should not influence our self-worth. And those are our goals, not the job. It doesn't matter what you do, not your social media followers or numbers, not how many likes you get on social media, not how many people watch your videos, not how old you are, not other people's opinions, not your grades, not your test scores, not your relationships, none of it. None of it should influence your self-worth. That's where the work needs to be done. You are the only one who determines your self-worth. If you believe you're worthy and valuable, you're worthy and valuable. If you don't believe you're worthy and valuable, hey, you're still worthy and valuable, right? Think about it. You have all the worth that you already need. You just have to accept it. So I looked up some questions on Psychology Today, and these are some questions that you can ask yourself to start thinking about your own self-beliefs. So I thought I would read a few of these to you. So if you're somewhere where you can, you know, answer these questions, go ahead and do so, or just think about them as you're listening, and come back to it later if you want to work on this. But here's these questions from positivepsychology.com. The first one is, in what situations do you tend to compare yourself with others? Now, we do this at work, right? We compare ourselves with other veterinarians. I've found that as I started playing pickleball, that I'm doing this, I'm comparing myself to other people and the way they play pickleball, which is kind of crazy, but that's what your brain wants to do. So what situations trigger that for you? Mine is sports, obviously, one of them. But what are yours? Is it at work? Is it on social media? What situations? The second question is, in what areas are you most critical of yourself? Do you struggle when you're doing surgery? Do you struggle with your weight? Are you most self-critical? The third one is, in which situations were you pretending to be someone you're not so others would like you and accept you? And if you're a people pleaser, which I have a tendency to be, we do this a lot, right? We try to make other people happy by pretending to be someone that we're not, or by pretending to accept what other people want and not expressing our own views and not pushing for our own agenda. That's what people pleasers do, right? So if you're pretending to be someone you're not, what situations trigger that for you? Another question is, when do you feel like your sense of self-worth increases? What's the thing you fear the most that people might say about you? Ooh, that's a bad one, right? Nobody likes being talked about behind their back. But what's the thing that you fear the most? That will be a good indicator of how you perceive your worth. Is it honesty? Is it integrity? Is it kindness? Are you afraid that someone's going to say you're dishonest? And the last question is, when do you feel most insecure? So if you're an introvert and you hate parties, does that make you feel insecure? And what does that bring up for you? So these are reflective questions to kind of explore where your perceived worth comes from. So I just thought that that is a good exercise to start digging into that. There are things that we can do to boost our sense of self-worth and ensure that we value ourselves like we should value ourselves. We're a complete, wonderful human being, deserving of love, respect, no matter what. So how can you increase those feelings of self-worth? First, spend some time thinking about your negative core beliefs and where they started or where they may have started. You might not remember when you're a baby what happened to you, but you do kind of know the history of your life. And are there some deep-seated negative core beliefs? And where do you think they came from? Sometimes you'll be unable to remember a specific circumstance that brought you to feel fear about yourself, but you can get to the bottom of a negative belief by just thinking it through. If you think there's something wrong with you, nope, there isn't. If you think you're inadequate, nope, no again. Wrong. Those are inaccurate beliefs. So where did they come from? Second, remind yourself that your job, your bank account, your title, your weight, your looks, your social media following, those all have nothing to do with how valuable or worthy of a person that you are. So try to make an effort and step back and think about what truly matters. What determines people's worth? Is it kindness, compassion, empathy, respect for others? And how do you feel about other people with these values and these characteristics? You have all of these. So if you feel good about other people that have these characteristics, you think they're worthy, start looking inward. The third thing is work on identifying and challenging that inner voice of yours, your chihuahua brain, that negative center that's trying to keep us safe. We all have that inner voice, and it loves to give us a hard time. It loves to tell us how unworthy we are, to point out our flaws and our mistakes. And it's natural and normal to let that chihuahua brain get the best of you. It sometimes does, right? But if you let it win too often, you start to believe it. You start to agree with it. And that's what we want to combat. So when you notice your thoughts sounding negative or critical about you, just stop and ask yourself if those thoughts are helpful or harmful. Are they useful or not useful to your self-esteem and your self-worth? And then tell your brain to knock it off and try on some more self-accepting thoughts. I like to have my clients write a list of all the reasons that they're worthy or loved or healthy or competent or whole. And, you know, we pick different titles, you know, why I'm a rock star or why I'm amazing or, you know, whatever it is. But try writing a list of all the good things about yourself and keep it handy. Because when you start to let that negative voice take over and your brain feels super negative and ugly thoughts come up, you need that list of good things. And you might have to read it out loud to yourself every day or every couple of days when you start to feel more negative. But just what you're trying to do is retrain your brain and give it more positive thoughts to kind of tamp down the negativity. That those negative beliefs are always going to be there, but if you can notice them and start to ignore them or change them into more positive thoughts, you will feel better, you'll have more power, and your self-worth will start to soar. Now, I found this thing called the self-worth scale. So if you're interested in getting an idea of your current level of self-worth, you can kind of take this little test. It's known as the Contingencies of Self-Worth Scale, and it was developed by Crocker, Lutinen, Cooper, and Bovre in the year of 2003. There's a series of items, and I'll read those to you, but you rate it on a scale from 1, that you strongly disagree, or to 7, that you strongly agree. And once you've rated each item, you can add up all the answers and divide the total by 5. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you can look it up. But anyway, here's a few of them, but not all of them. So ranking these things, right? First is approval from others. I don't care what other people think, and I don't care if other people have a negative opinion of me. Your physical appearance. Is your self-esteem influenced by how you look, how your face looks, how your body looks, how you're feeling that day? The third one is outdoing others in a competition. The fourth one is academic competence. Do you feel bad about yourself when you don't perform well academically? The next one is family love and support. Is my self-worth influenced by the quality of my relationships with my family members? The sixth one is being a virtuous or moral person. My self-esteem depends on whether or not I follow my moral and ethical principles. And then the seventh one is God's love. My self-esteem would suffer if I didn't have God's love. So if you're interested in that, look that up, Contingencies of Self-Worth Scale. And for me, it just gives me things to think about, right? Because I know that we're all worthy because of God's love. And that's something that can't be denied. And so if you believe that too, reminding yourself of that is going to help. And the last thing I want to offer to you is some activities to help you develop a higher sense of self-worth. So the first one is getting to know yourself better. Understanding yourself. And this is kind of going back and looking at your negative core beliefs, working with a coach or therapist to find out more and understand why you think the things you do, why you do the things you do, answer some of the questions like, who am I? What am I? What do I see in others? Those kind of things. Getting to know yourself, personality profiling, and I think anything that you can do to understand yourself better is helpful. And then also asking yourself, what do I need to change? Where can I improve? Those kind of things. So that's kind of going through self-understanding. Another thing that you can do is try to boost that self-acceptance. Can you forgive yourself for past mistakes? Can you accept the way you look and the way you speak and the way you think? Sometimes I get on my brain because I don't always think fast enough, or I don't always think of the best words to say when I'm on the podcast. And I think, oh, I could speak so much more eloquently if I was smarter. But just accepting yourself for who you are and how you do things is a big part of building your self-worth. And then accepting self-love. Can you love yourself? Can you start paying attention to your negative thoughts about yourself? And can you change them to tolerance and kindness and compassion for yourself? And then working to just recognize why you're worthy. Do I have to please other people to be worthy? No. Does it matter what I say or do? It doesn't. Does it matter if I'm right or wrong in any given situation? It doesn't. And then the last one is take some responsibility for this. Take some responsibility for yourself. So if you take full responsibility of everything in your life, everything that happens to you, and you acknowledge that you have the power to change, that will help you build that sense of self-worth. So all of this to say, remind yourself of all the things that you've learned over the years, all the things that make you special and unique. Remind yourself of what's important. Remind yourself that you were put on this earth as a unique human being to do something unique, to save a person, to save a pet, to raise a child, to be a child, to be the daughter or son of someone, to support other people. There's so many things that make up your personality that make you worthy. And you have the power to change anything that you want in your life. And you also have the power to just be and sit in the fact that you're worthy no matter what you do. It doesn't depend on your activities. It doesn't depend on your contribution to the world. It doesn't depend on anything except that you are unique and worthy and valuable and loved. So I challenge you this week to do some of these exercises. Pick out something that speaks to you. Examine your self-talk. Look at your negative core beliefs. Do one of these exercises to try to increase your worthiness to yourself. It doesn't matter to anyone else. But if you'd like to share, or if you'd like help working through some of these negative thoughts that you're having trouble prying loose, just reach out to me and I'll help you as much as I can. jacapeldvm@gmail.com is my email, or you can go to my website and reach me there. Fill out the little form and I'll get back to you. I have some quotes for you on self-worth. The first one is from Sandy Hale. It says, quote, "Self-worth is so vital to your happiness. If you don't feel good about yourself, it's hard to feel good about anything else." That's Sandy Hale. The next one is from Marilyn Monroe. And it says, "Wanting to be someone else is a waste of the person you are." And I love that one. And the last one is from Andrew Matthews. And he says, "A healthy self-love means we have no compulsion to justify ourselves or others, why we take vacations, why we sleep late, why we buy new shoes, why we spoil ourselves from time to time. We feel comfortable doing things which add quality and beauty to life." That's Andrew Matthews. I hope that you embrace these thoughts today and that you feel more worthy just by doing a little bit of work. And I'll be back next week with an interview for you. I think it's with Veterinary Adventures, so I'm excited about that. So have a beautiful week, friends. Bye.